Yeah, Puebla is a little bit strange that way. The people are very strange. Every place we go, people are just different, right? But Poblanos are that way. It's very interesting. You can meet somebody there in Puebla and have a good conversation with them, and you're thinking, man, you know, it went pretty well. And then you see them the next day, and you're like their enemy. You know, it's like, I would just talk to you a few hours ago. And it's very strange. The people there are a little bit strange. But we love them. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 2, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 2. All right. All right, this is my last time up. I should be very long, especially since you got the air conditioner off. I think you want me out of here real quick. That's all right. Tomorrow we have a slot in the middle, and we're going to be bringing a video of the two works there in Puebla. And like Stephen mentioned, the work on the south side, we've been there a few years, don't know exactly how long, some 15? Man, been there a long time. And now we're working on the north side, trying to get that lifted up. We also have two new co-workers. So that's a real big blessing. Actually, one of the co-workers that we have is Alberto and Eli Sotelo. They're missionaries. They were sent out of the church in León a year before we got there. And so they've been on the field a long time. And they've been in Guadalajara for the past, I want to say, 20 years. They were in Guadalajara. They started a church in Celaya, and then they went to Guadalajara and tried a few works there. And they have one church there. And then he basically decided that, you know, he could stay there and be very comfortable. But he didn't like that feeling, and he said, you know, I'm an evangelist and I need to move. The problem is that, you know, he definitely didn't want to go work by himself. That's not good. And so, his hands were a little bit tied. And then we invited him to Puebla to preach for us, for a few days. And Matt got a hold of him and started talking to him and said, man, you know, why don't you come work with us? And so they were a little bit hesitant, on that. And just because for some reason, I don't understand it, but for some reason they just felt like, the Americans, we had like, I don't know, like, not a prejudice. We're not prejudiced. No, we like an unspoken kind of rule, I guess that's what you want to call it, that we just don't work with Mexicans for whatever reason, you know. And of course he brought that up to me, and I was like, where'd you hear that? I never said anything like that, you know. And I always told Alberto, man, whenever we used to preach conferences or campaigns, I always hooked up with Alberto. Faithful brother, really good guy. And yeah, so when he heard that, he got happy and decided to come, work with us. So, and it's been real good. Amen. And, you know, like Matt said, now I got somebody laughing my jokes. Oh, Matt, come on. I think I do good with some jokes here and there. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to gather together in your name. Father, I just thank you for your love and how you watch over us, Lord. Thank you for moving through the preaching, through your word, Father, touching hearts. I know you've pressed on my heart for a few things, Lord, that I need to reevaluate, I need to change. Thank you for again, you know, getting me excited about going back. And I just thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for all the brethren here in this church. They welcome welcomed us. They always treat us so well, Lord. I just pray that you just bless each family, Lord. Bless the church here and just continue to use us, Lord. We need you. We want you. We want to continue to do what you called us to do, Lord. And it's such a privilege that we get to do this, Lord. It's not forced upon us. It's not something that we're obligated to do, Lord. It's something we want to do. And it's something you allow us to do. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to start off on in verse 1, just that one verse. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, when you're reading, obviously, the book of Hebrews, you know, when I got here, when I started coming to church here in San Antonio, it was always the preaching, the teaching, everything was always, in my mind, very simple. I understood what they taught. I understood their answers when I had questions. It wasn't anything really deep. And I remember this book. I remember one time, I don't know if it was in a Bible study or it was from the pulpit, but Brother Lindell, he started preaching out of Hebrews and he asked the question, you know, who is Hebrews written to? And, you know, I'm sitting in the chair, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, well, to us, I guess, you know, it's in the New Testament, right? And he said, look, it says the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. It's written to the Hebrews, right? Very simple, right? And when I read that, I thought, you know what? The Bible isn't as hard as I thought it was. You know, you just got to believe what it says. You, lots of times we read the Bible and we try to make it or twist it or try to make it say things it's not saying, when you should just read it and believe what it says.
Amen.
And that's the problem. Sometimes it says some things you're thinking, man, that's kind of hard to believe. Just believe it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, here, obviously, when he gets into chapter 2 and he starts talking and he uses that word therefore, well, the reason why he's using therefore is because it's based on something he already said. Right? So he taught in chapter 1, if you read chapter 1, then he's talking about Jesus being supreme, right? He's talking about the relationship with God, him as the Son. He's talking to him about that he's a whole lot better than the angels, right? And he's telling them that we have this revelation. God spoke through the prophets, but now he's speaking through Jesus Christ, right? So he's telling them all this very deep stuff, very, very good doctrine. And then he goes into chapter 2 and he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, right? And earnest heed, I mean, that's, you know, I like reading the Bible. I think it makes me smarter, you know, especially this book, right? It just, you know, I have to look up a lot of words, you know, but when I look up a lot of words and I start thinking, man, you know, because I don't talk that way. Take earnest heed. You know, I don't talk that way, right? But when I see this and I look it up, I thought, man, you know, what is he trying to say? It's something intense. It's something that you need to pay serious attention to with careful consideration. That's what it means. That's all it means, right? When he says here, earnest heed, he's saying, pay attention. What I'm going to tell you, what I just finished telling you a little while ago, and I'm going to make this statement, and it's a very important statement.
Yep.
He says, take heed of this. And what does he say? He says, to the things which we have heard. And he says, lest any time we should let them slip, right? You know, this weekend, I thought about this, therefore, because I think this is our therefore moment, right? All this week, again, like every year, we're coming and we're speaking about missions. We're speaking about our responsibility. We're speaking about how we can continue to take the gospel, fulfill what God has told us to do, right? Take this gospel, right? And get it out there. Get people saved. God is interested in souls. God wants more people. Obviously, we're still here, right? So we need to continue this work. And this is what we've been doing. So therefore, you need to take earnest. And it says here, earnest heed to the things you've heard this week. That's the, you know, I'm not going to talk about chapter 1, but I, just that phrase, just that thought of not letting things slip. That's the idea here. That's what I want to get across to you today. That there's lots of things that you've probably heard, and hopefully God has pressed upon your heart something, right? And not only because it's a mission conference, I think every single time you come to a meeting, you need to ask God, give me something.
Yep.
Right? Touch my heart. Open my eyes. I know I'm not right. That's why I come to church. Right? I come to church and yeah, I like the fellowship. I like, you know, talking to people. I have friends, at church, all that. But you know, I come to church because I want to hear from God.
Yep, right.
Right? And I fervently believe that our pastors, that the person who's going to be speaking behind this pulpit has something from God for me. Right? Not for somebody else. I want it for me. I covet that God speaks to me.
Amen.
This is what I want.
Yep.
Right? I'm jealous for God for him to move me. And so this week you probably had something that God has pressed on you, hopefully, right? Maybe it's more commitment. Right? To do more. Right? That doesn't always sit well, but yeah, to do more, right? Maybe revival. Maybe you found revival this week. Maybe something was said and something stirred you. You said, man, you know, that's true. That's right. And you got excited about something. Maybe. Or maybe confirmation. Maybe God, through the messages, through the week, through the morning meetings, through fellowship, through talking, through consultation, whatever, God confirms some things to you. Or maybe he's just pressing you to surrender. Right? Maybe you don't know what you're surrendering for, and that's fine too. You know, I remember there was a time when I was here and I didn't know exactly, I knew God wanted me to do something, and this was before I surrendered to be a missionary, but I knew God wanted me to do something, and I was doing my best trying to find it. I mean, I would hang out with Brother Brian a lot. I would say, man, Brian, are you going to go on a visit? I want to go with you. You know, I would go with Brother Brian on visits and we'd go. And then at the end of the visit, I'd always fill up his truck. I said, well, that's what I can do. You know, I can make sure he has a full tank, right? Go on visits, doing this stuff. But there was a time where I said, man, maybe I need to do something in the church, right? And so I walk up to Brother Steve, right? Dalross. He is one of my pastors, right? I walked up to him, before a meeting and I said, Brother Steve, I said, I read in the Bible there about deacons, that the church, you know, has deacons in the church. And I'm thinking, maybe I can be a deacon. And Brother Steve says, no. And he walks away. I think, okay, shut the door on that. You know, but he was very clear. He said, no, that's not for you. And boom, it was done. It was over. But I'm here seeking. I'm here trying to figure out where my niche is. What am I going to do? You know, this is something that I think, every believer, should feel that way. Because God, like I said before, God doesn't just save you and just put you on a shelf. No, man, you have something. You have something to offer,
yeah.
Right? Something that I was thinking about earlier. I wanted to share in the morning meetings, but just never got around to it. Talking about where Paul's talking to Timothy, and he tells him to make full proof of thy ministry.
Yes.
In the very next verse, he says, I'm about to get out of here. Well, in my words, right? I'm gone. I'm going to be leaving pretty quick, right? My course is almost done, but he tells them to make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he was telling them? Timothy, you're not me, right? You're not me. You're never going to be me, but you have a ministry. You have something. God has saved you. He has put you in the church. You should make full proof of what God has called you to do. And don't underestimate anything God wants you to do. It may be that you came this week and it's at the end of the week. Tomorrow's going to end. And all you can tell God is, which is a good thing, I'm surrendered to anything you want me to do.
Yes.
Whatever it is. If it's clean up around the church, if it's, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
You know, is it to help out, you know, putting up chairs? Is it just to be an encouragement? Is it, you know, to bring a good word to help? I mean, so many things you can start off. And this is me. I don't know if you're this way. This is me. I try to do the very small things because I know I can do small things, right? I don't want to attack anything big because more than likely I probably fail. But I can do the small things, right? I can show up and I can encourage somebody, right? I can give a smile. I can shake somebody's hand, right? I can do so many things to make the church a better place. I don't know what God has pressed on you, but when I think about slip and he says, don't let it slip. Another thought came to my mind about, and this is probably because of what all happened with the river and the flooding and all the stuff we see drifting, right? Drifting down the river. And it's a sad situation, everything that happened. But when I think of slip, I think of drifting away, you know? The thing we should know about when things starts to drift, and there's certain things that I just want to bring up very quickly. Drifting requires no effort. No effort at all, right? It's very easy to go down the river. It's very easy to just let the current just take you and not be fighting against it, right? I mean, and another thing about drifting, the undercurrents or even the wind. Have you ever been on the highway and driving and all of a sudden a gush of wind just blows you? I mean, it scares me half to death, but you don't see it. It's not like you see the wind coming. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to get ready. No, you're just driving on the road and all of a sudden, boom, a gush of wind hits your vehicle. And if you're driving 75 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, it can be pretty dangerous. I mean, a lot of 18-wheelers turn over because of that, right? They have to pay attention to the weather when they're driving, especially through different parts of the country, because if a gust of wind or if it's going to be windy, they need to just pull over and wait for all that to pass because it can be pretty dangerous, right? But it also happens with us spiritually, right? We can get to the point, even coming to church or doing what we need to do. And, and we've said it before too, that sometimes we even go through the motions, right? How many times have we gone to a street or we've gone to church and we teach and we try to exhort and we preach and we go out and try to win somebody out in the street and we're just going through the motions. We're just drifting. We're doing what we need to do, but we're not in it. You need to be very careful. Right? You need to be careful when that one happens. You know, and it's a process, drifting, having things slip out of your hand. It's something that lots of times is unawares. Right? It just happens. Right? It has no effort. Sometimes this happens unaware. And another thing about drifting, you never drift upstream. Right? Against the tide. You don't drift against the tide. If you're constantly doing something, you're just constantly moving forward, even if you're hitting some walls, even if you're getting a little bit of friction while you're trying to work for God, you're not going to drift. You're going to be alert. There's a guy that we like, Matt, he does UFC and we watch almost all UFC fights. But there's a guy by the name of Marab, and I'm going to butcher it, Matt, Davilishvili, something like that. Davili, is that right? But he's a guy from Georgia. This guy, he's like 5'4". He's like 5', little guy. He's a champion. This guy, a day after he fought and won the championship, you see him, they have a video of him, he goes out, he's training the very next day. And he's out there, and his training, because he has endurance like crazy, he jumps in a river where you see the current is just so hard, and he's swimming against it. He's just swimming, and that's his training. He does that for endurance. You don't float when you go against the current. And I'm watching that and I just get exhausted watching that video. I'm thinking, why does he do that? This is crazy. Well, because he wants to be the best, right? He knows that that's going to make him even be better, that type of training. Well, you know, when you and I are working and we're, even when we hit some obstacles, we hit some problems, if you're constantly moving forward, then you're not in danger of drifting. You just got to keep moving forward. And you know, we need to be faithful, always adding, like the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:5, adding to your faith, right? It says there in chapter 3:18, grow in grace, right? We always should be growing, we always should be adding, right? If we do this, you're not going to be in danger of slipping up, right? But if we do slip up, and if you do drift, you are in danger of not having a good end. Destruction, right? I mean, we saw the videos. Incredible. I've never seen a house go down the river. They had houses. Houses just drifting away. And the sad thing is that a lot of them had people in it. Yeah. Right? It just surprised them. It's just something that happened. But they're going, and they cannot do anything about it. Nothing. And it's just going. You're seeing this house going down the river. And all of a sudden, it hits a tree or it hits a bridge. And it just destroys itself. It's into pieces. Well, you know, that's the danger we have when we drift spiritually. Sure, destruction, right? And there's some signs, right, that you can see when you start drifting. It doesn't just, I mean, it's not like something that we can say, okay, it's gonna happen, but there's just no way that, it's just gonna come upon me and I don't know the cause. No, there's causes of why we drift and why we slip. And one thing I thought of was there'll be a decline in your desire to study God's word and pray, right? 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, we have the Bible. Anything that you want, talking about holiness, talking about life, talking about things that you need to be victorious, you got it in the Bible. Amen. God's word. But you know what happens when we stop reading the God's word, when we stop praying? Jesus, it says over there in Mark 1:35 that Jesus, he separated himself. He found a quiet spot in the morning to go pray. You know, Paul says over there to the Thessalonians, right? He says, pray without ceasing, right? When your prayer life goes down, when you see a decline in reading, and it does happen, right? You might wake up and say, you know, I don't feel like reading. You know what? You better take out your book and start reading. Amen. I mean, don't let that, because one day is going to be 2 days, 3 days, and by the time you know it, you're actually looking for your Bible when Sunday comes around. Has that ever happened to you? Where'd I leave that thing? Oh, you say, no, that never happens to me. Why? Because I carry my Bible right here, right? I got my Bible. No, let me tell you, I know I love electronics. You know, I actually have my notes on a tablet, but I need my Bible. Right? I like my Bible, right? I don't want to get lazy and forget where the books are, right? When they say, oh, turn to, you know, Malachi, or turn to, you're thinking, oh, that's real easy. Peep, click, click, I'm there. But I don't want to get lazy. I need to know where they are on these pages, right? But you and I, when we get away from reading God's word, get away from praying, we are creeping up into a spot where we are going to start drifting away, and it's going to happen. Also, when you feel like you have a less desire to be with God's people, right? Has that ever happened to you? Look, the mission conference is not a surprise to any of us that are part of this church, right? And yet, lots of people make it a point not to come. Right? Nobody, I mean, it's not like, oh man, the mission conference, I totally forgot. Why did I schedule my vacation on this week? Look, I look forward to the mission conference. I look forward to spending time with you guys, to, you know, fellowship. I need some encouragement. And you know what? On that point, I want to thank all the young people, especially the girls in this church, who treat my grandkids so good. You know, you let them tug on you. You let them hang on you. You carry them around. Man, they look forward to coming here, and they're already thinking, I'm going to go spend the night here. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. They're looking up to these young. Thank you. Do you ever find yourself dreading coming to church? Be careful. Be careful. You can start slipping.
That's right.
Right? I don't want to go because, oh man, that preacher again. You know, it's going to be him again. No, I'm going to, you know what? I'll watch it on YouTube. That's what I'll do. It does happen. Psalms 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And I know we have to work through it. I know things happens, but the desire to be with God's people should be something that's alive in you. You should want to be around God's people. If you don't want to be around God's people, if you find yourself want to be around more of the world, then you might have to do a little examination, evaluation of your spiritual life.
Yep.
Just because, not because I'm going to get my feelings hurt, right? I mean, there's some people who really, you know, maybe I just rub them the wrong way. They just, you know, do their best not to say hi to me. Right? It's like during COVID, right? I remember during COVID, and we came up one year and I went up to shake someone's hand and they told me, I don't shake anybody's hand. I was like, oh, okay. I feel kind of bad. I was saying it's awkward. What do I do? You know, I said, oh, okay. And I just kind of walked away, right? I'm thinking, really? You know, you don't shake anybody's hand? I mean, okay, whatever, you know? But I'm not going to let that get me down, right? Next time I came to church and I saw that person, I went up there and I said, do you do fist bump? You know? I mean, yeah, I can put plastic around it, I guess. Or I just wave from you know, the other side of the room. Hi, how you doing? You know, I'm not going to let that ruin being glad to come to church. But when you do feel that way, be careful, because you might start on that drift, right? Another thing, when you find a less desire to share the gospel with somebody, you know, and you start coming up with different excuses, right? But the Bible says that we should be people to share the gospel. When you read over there in Acts chapter 8, right after Stephen, right after they martyred him, it says over there, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word.
Amen.
You talk about persecution, you talk about hard times, you talk about trembling, you talk about, man, if I open my mouth, I'm going to be next. Who wants to die? I don't want to die. I'm being honest. I want to live. I want to serve God more. And I hope I'm this way, you know, if God permits me to get old, I hope I'm this way even when I'm old, right? Mom's going to be 90 years old and she's that way right now. She says, man, she told me after she got saved, why did I wait so long to get saved? You know, she does as much as she can, right? Where she meets right now. She goes to prayer meetings. I'm talking about not Wednesday nights. She goes to Wednesday nights too. She goes Sunday, but they have an extra day for prayer meetings. My mom shows up, you know, I'm thinking, Mom, maybe you should stay home, right? You're old. You're 90. No, I can make it. It's only a few blocks. She goes, she's driving over there, 90-year-old lady. I'm glad we live in a small town. But when you have this less desire to share the gospel, it might be that, you're starting on that slippery slope. You know, just to wrap it up, just speaking about letting things slip and the danger of drifting. There's a verse there in Luke. in chapter 17. And it stuck out to me a while back. Very interesting, right? Where Jesus is talking about the days of Noah and how it's going to be when he comes back. And then he talks about Lot, right? And how Lot got out of there too. And it's going to be the same way. They were buying, they were selling, they were doing all this stuff. And that's what it's going to be. And then all of a sudden in verse 32, it says, remember Lot's wife. That little phrase, remember Lot's wife. You know, she let something slip and it cost her eternity. You know, when I think about when the opportunity is presented to us, and might have been an opportunity presented to you this week, don't let it slip. Don't hesitate. If God spoke to your heart this week, I mean, anything. I don't know what God told you, but I know God tells us stuff. I know God, if we earnestly come to a meeting or open the Bible, do you do this? Is this something that you do before you open the Bible? You open the Bible and you say, God, speak to me. Because I read your word and sometimes I get very sleepy. Amen. Right? God, help me. Sometimes I go to church and I have a good time sleeping. But yet when I turn on a movie, I'm wide awake. Help me. Oh man, let me tell you, sometimes, yeah, that's the case. And you know, I know we're all tired. We're this and that and the other. You're sick. You got allergies, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the case is, all I'm telling you is we need to ask God, God, speak to me.
Amen.
Well, when God does, don't be like Lot's wife and just let it slip. Don't hesitate. Whatever God has spoken to your heart, whatever he pressed on your heart this week, don't hesitate. When there's a question of duty is pressed upon your heart, don't let a clear call of duty from God slip. It could be something big. It could be something small. It could be something in between. It could be something that you're already doing, but God's saying, I want you to do it better instead of half-heartedly. I don't know what it is. All I'm telling you is when God presses upon you something to do, a duty, don't let that slip. When you're attacked, we've been speaking about doubt this week. When doubt hits you, you need to believe God. Don't let that slip. Even the things that you don't understand, right? You could be taking a big step for God and you don't understand how it's going to work out. Man, I didn't understand how it was going to work out with my life, you know? But man, it's been the best time of my life to be able to preach the gospel, to be full time, to at any time I can talk to somebody and they say, well, can you come at this time? I can come at that time. I need your help over here. I'm there to help. That is such a blessing for me to be in that position to be able to serve God. It's been the best time of my life. Amen. But you know, when we have that opportunity, when it's presented, don't let it slip.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate. When God has pressed that duty upon your heart, don't let that slip. When doubt comes in, I can't do it. I'm scared. Right? I don't have the ability. Don't let that mess things up. Don't let the opportunity slip. Lot's wife, she was on the road to salvation. She was leaving, man. She was gone. And then that very last moment, she turned around and lost everything. Remember Lot's wife. And the text says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Amen.
The decisions that you make today, the decisions you make next week, from what you heard, can change your life. Don't let that slip. Amen?